amazing, amazing guest coming through the broadcast, and we've got one of those with us here today. We've got Gregory Michael Dell with us. He is a partner and managing attorney of the Disability Income Division of Dell, Schaefer, and Chartered. And the division represents claimants throughout all stages, applications, denials, appeals, litigation, and lump sum policy buyouts of a claim for individual or a group long-term disability benefits. And Gregory has represented thousands of injured and disabled individuals with their claims against insurance companies. I welcome Gregory to the broadcast. Greg, how you doing today, my friend?
Doing real good. Nice to be with you.
Now, you have a lot of experience. When did you decide you wanted to go out and be an attorney, my friend? Because not everybody, you know, especially in school, when they say, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? There's not a lot of people that say, oh, I want to be an attorney.
You know what? I guess it started because my dad was an attorney.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
I was kind of, yeah, I was kind of raised in the legal background.
My passion really
kicked in when I realized I had the opportunity to beat up on insurance companies that were taking advantage of individuals.
That's cool. You're basically one of the good guys out there, my friend. That's one of the big reasons why I wanted to have you on today. We've got Gregory Michael Dell with us today. He is a partner and managing attorney of the Disability Income Division of Dell, Schaefer, and Chartered. And the division represents claimants throughout all stages, applications, denials, appeals, litigation, and lump sum policy buyouts. And today we're talking tips for employees who are filing for disability benefits. Give me your thoughts on this, my friend. What are some of the major tips out there?
Well, the most important thing is you've got to understand the potential claimant is somebody who is obviously working. They have a disability policy either from their employer or they bought the policy on their own. And in order to file a claim, absolutely number one tip is that you've got to have appropriate medical support. If you're not treating with a doctor, there's no way your claim's ever going to be approved. And a lot of people just assume that, you know, my neck's been bothering me a lot, my back, my shoulder, these chronic headaches, whatever it may be that's bothering the person, they can't work, but they don't go to the doctor. And then they stop working, and then they try to file a claim. And that's a big problem because the insurance company says, well, you were working all along, you didn't see a doctor, how come all of a sudden you couldn't work? So, you know, tip number one is you got to have good medical support. Otherwise, you're just not going to get anywhere with your claim.
We've got a great guest with us today. Gregory Michael Dell is with us. He's a partner and managing attorney of the Disability Income Division of Dell, Schaefer, and Chartered. And he's available today to talk to us about the tips for employees who are filing for disability benefits. And you've put up a video on YouTube, you've done a lot of TV appearances, my friend. Give me your thoughts on what the media is hitting you with when they have you on their programs and things.
Well, I think you know, one of the biggest issues is the fact that you have this law called ERISA, which is the Employee Retirement Income Security Act. And in the past, a little bit earlier in the year, Senator Baucus was in a congressional hearing dealing with why this law of ERISA is unfair, which is basically a federal law that came about in the late 1970s, which really defers to insurance companies and makes it somewhat unfair for claimants when it comes time for them to file a claim. And the reason it's unfair is because these disability policies that are issued by employers and then given as benefits to employees have discretionary clauses in them. And there's been about 20 states that have basically said that if you have a discretionary clause in a policy, which means that the insurance company can interpret the terms and conditions of a policy, and then basically when it gets to the court, the court's hands are tied and they basically say, look, I disagree with the findings here, but the company has discretion to interpret the terms of the plan and make a decision, and even though I'm the judge, I'm sorry, I can't reverse because I'm stuck by this ERISA law. So a lot of the state legislators, state departments of insurance have said, look, we're not going to allow you insurance companies to sell these policies anymore with discretionary clauses because it's unfair to claimants. So that's been a very hot issue because at the federal level, the Department of Labor makes the regulations and can propose changes to Congress to change ERISA. But there haven't been any changes to it that would make it where discretionary clauses are illegal. So that's really been one of the hot issues, and that's one of the things that's been out there on shows like ABC, Good Morning America in 2020, trying to say, let's get rid of these discretionary clauses and level the playing field for the claimant.
We've got Gregory Michael Dell with us today. The website, diattorney.com. And the most important aspect of filing a claim for either short-term or long-term disability benefits is the information contained within the initial disability benefits application submitted to the disability insurance company. Give me your thoughts on this, my friend.
Sure. You know, when a claimant goes to make a claim, usually there's an elimination period. If it's short-term, it's at least 7 days. If it's long-term disability, it's going to be 90 to 180 days. And the first thing the insurance company is going to see is this application that you submit to them. And in a way, if you don't have a, if you don't fill it out correctly, it can really just absolutely kill your claim. The reason being is that that is the heart and soul of the claim. You're telling the insurance company, here's what's wrong with me. And most claimants don't deal with insurance companies, and they don't know what needs to be in this form, what doesn't need to be in there. They just assume, I paid my premiums, and therefore the insurance company should pay me. And unfortunately, as many people sometimes find out with health insurance, which is what most people have, that insurance companies don't just go ahead and pay claims just because you're paying premiums. So you really got to have a plan when putting that application in. You got to make sure your doctors are on board. You want to make sure your employer is on board. And you got to dot all your I's and cross all your T's in order to put yourself in the best position to get paid.
Gregory Michael Dell with us today here on the big broadcast, the website, diattorney.com. And an application for disability income benefits must contain specific information and be supported by the proper documentation. Fill me in on this, my friend.
Well, that goes along the lines of when you submit an application for benefits, you're going to get a claimant statement, and you're going to get an attending physician statement, and you may get an employer statement. And like I started saying when we first started talking, the attending physician statement is probably one of the most important things, and that's going to go to the doctor, the treating doctor that the claimant's treating with. And a lot of times these docs, they just don't want to be bothered with the paperwork because they're bombarded by insurance companies with paperwork. So these forms really need to be completed appropriately. The doctors need to be explained as to what the terms of the policy is, whether it's an own occupation or an any occupation, because the doctors don't necessarily want to take the time. They're often not getting paid additional to fill out these forms, and due to their busy schedules and the doctor being rushed, the claimants don't get a fair shake, even from their own treating doctors, and that ends up resulting in a claim denial.
We've got a great guest with us today here on the line, Gregory Michael Dell. The website, diattorney.com, is his website. And filing for disability requires a coordinated effort between your treating physician, your employer, accountant, and coworkers. Break it down for me. Why is this so important?
Well, a lot of times, and more so in the individual private disability rather than the employee who gets a benefit from an employer, They're usually business owners. And when you're a business owner and you're claiming disability, the insurance company is going to request copies of your tax returns. They may request copies of monthly profit and loss statements. We represent a lot of physicians and dentists, and the insurance company is going to want to have a copy of their production reports from each month. If they're a dentist, their ADA dental code reports, because they want to see what are the substantial material duties that this person was doing in their job. So, you know, when you have a coordinated effort, obviously we talked a little bit about with the doctors, but you also need to have your accountant or an office manager or somebody who knows the finances of the practice on board to respond to the insurance company and be able to satisfy for them what are the finances of the company and also what are the occupational duties through the production reports that you're producing. So everybody needs to be on board because the insurance company is going to reach out to these people either with or without your permission. They're going to go ahead usually and talk to them. And if everyone doesn't know what's going on who needs to support your claim, one person who messes something up can be the cog in the wheel that throws the whole claim off.
We've got a great guest with us today, Gregory Michael Dell, the website diattorney.com. And Gregory, thanks for doing this, by the way, my friend. I really enjoy your insight on this subject. Give me your thoughts on what is one of the big things that people miss when they file for disability benefits?
Well, I think what people don't realize that they miss is really they try to over-exaggerate their symptoms. They think that they have to be bedridden, per se, in order to get paid under their policy, and that's really not the case. You know, we're dealing with the average claimant who's working 40 to 50 hours a week. They're usually hardworking people, and they think that if I tell the insurance company that I can go to the grocery store or I can drive my car, then I'm not going to get approved for benefits, and that's just not the case. What it's about is not being able to do your job 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, and being able to show up every day for work. That's what it means in order, you know, to be disabled, not being able to do that. Not the fact that you have a good hour here or a good hour there, and therefore you're not disabled. And people have to realize that they're going to be surveyed on video, whether they're at home, outside their home, wherever they go. There's going to be someone watching them potentially by a private investigator hired by the insurance company. And if you exaggerate your symptoms to the insurance company and they see you on video doing something different than what you told them, then your claim is almost definitely going to be denied and your credibility is going to go in the toilet. And once that happens, it's super hard for the insurance companies to approve a claim.
We've got Gregory Michael Dell with us today. DIattorney.com is his website. The insurance companies are not entitled to every piece of information they request, and an applicant must be aware of the legal implications of every communication and document requested by the insurance carrier. Now, give me your thoughts on this, because insurance companies have a lot of discretion under the terms of a disability insurance policy, don't they?
Sure, yeah, they sure do have a lot of discretion, and very often if a claimant doesn't respond or comply with the terms of the policy and giving them what they want, then the legal term is that the disability insurance company can say that you breached a condition precedent. And as a result of you not complying and creating that breach, you've therefore voided your policy and we don't have to pay you. So you have to be very cautious and know what to give them and what not to give them, but the thing that all these disability insurance companies are sending out to claimants are these authorization forms. And the claimants need to be very careful, because these authorization forms are getting more and more generic, to the point where they're basically asking the claimant to give them permission to have everything but their firstborn son, essentially. I mean, it goes as far as saying we can speak to every employer you've ever had, we can speak to the IRS, we can get your bank statements, we can get your credit card statements, we can run your credit. Most of these things have nothing to do with whether or not the person's disabled. So very often what we do is we limit the scope of the request to specifically to medical records, and we even go a step further when we're representing a claimant, and we tell the disability company to say, you tell us the doctors that you want records from, and we'll have the client sign specific authorization so that you can get records from that specific doctor. And the reason it's important to limit the scope is when you go ahead and ask the insurance company to say, hey, send us a copy of what you've been sent by whoever you requested information from, the insurance companies very often say, oh, no, that's our work product. We're not going to share that information with you. So pound sand. And that's not fair. You know, you want authorization, insurance company, for every single thing out there, but when we ask you for copies of it, you tell us no way. So you got to limit the scope of these authorizations, and you really need to have someone in your corner who's advocating for you, because there's a lot at stake for a claimant.
We've got Gregory Michael Dell with us today. DIattorney.com is his website. A couple more questions before I let you go, my friend. One, you mentioned earlier something about the insurance company will go out and hire a private investigator. This is something I did not know. This is just amazing to me that they would go to. I understand, you know, that they're trying to not pay out on a claim, so I understand they're going to go to, you know, what would seem like extremes, but I'm just amazed by the fact that they will go out and hire a private investigator to do surveillance and then turn that information over to, I'm assuming, the physician of some sort, or who are they giving this information to?
Okay, well, they do a couple things with the information. First of all, they have a right to do this, just so you know. I mean, anybody can basically videotape anybody in the public domain. And in the public domain, that means when you go out in public, someone can put you on video.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I understand that. I just find okay. I just find it amazing that they will go to that length. But I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead and
no, no problem. So here's what they do. No, so here's what they do with the video. They take the video and they go ahead and send it back to their own doctors, either the doctors that they hire or their in-house doctors, And then what they'll often do, like let's take, for example, Hartford Insurance Company. Hartford is notorious for calling the claimant and saying, we'd like to come down and talk to you. They'll come into their house. These people are often unrepresented. They'll sit down with them. They'll talk to them for an hour to 3 hours at a time. And then after they ask them all the questions in an effort to catch them in something, they'll say, oh, can you take a look at this video and let us know what you think about it? So the investigator from the insurance company will go in, ask specific questions, and then try to catch them in a lie. They'll also take the video and send it back to the claimant's own treating physician and say, well, you would render an opinion earlier that this person, you know, couldn't walk for 30 minutes or lift more than 15 pounds. What are your thoughts about their ability to return to work after you see this video? And the last place they use the video is that if it's a private claim, they're going to use it in a jury trial and show it to the jury. And they're going to say, hey, look at the claimant here on video. Do you really think this is a person who can't work? So, I mean, we've seen some absolutely crazy video surveillance. And the truth is sometimes they catch people doing stuff, but usually it's nonsense that they see on the video.
We've got Gregory Michael Dell with us today, the website diattorney.com. And before I let you go, my friend, I really have appreciated you chatting with us today. I've learned a heck of a lot about the disability insurance business and everything. Some of these things are just astronomical. I guess my final question would be, if someone were to go in, let's say, for instance, they haven't gone to trial and you were offered a settlement. Let's say you were involved, and the insurance company were to offer you a settlement and you would reject it, and then would it be possible to go through and add different things to your case and then have, you know, be able to kick back a settlement, or am I off on this? Or
well, what do you mean by add certain things? What,
well,
are you talking about,
like for instance, if there was a case. If someone were involved in a let's say a home health care, they were a CNA or a CM or CMA or whatever, and they happen to, let's say, they get injured at work and they busted their knee or whatever, and they needed some sort of knee surgery, and they basically couldn't work anymore because they had fallen on ice or whatever, and they were suing the home health care people. Would they be able to go back, let's say, later and say, let's say because they're obese, they go back and they say, well, I want weight loss surgery thrown in, even after the company has said, hey, we'll settle with you for this, they rejected it, then they added something to it, and then would that be possible, or
okay, well, I understand your question.
Yeah.
It's not something that would be possible, because when people have these policies, what you need to understand is that they're contracts.
Yes, indeed.
And so, for example, somebody may buy a contract that's going to pay them $5,000 a month in the event they're unable to work.
Yeah.
Most of the people who have their benefits through their employer, their contracts say that you're entitled to 60% of your income.
Okay.
And that's all you're entitled to. You can't add anything more beyond that. So the damages are concrete here in what you're going to get. If you can't work, you're going to get 60% of your salary up to a certain cap, whatever the policy says. Some policies go up to $10,000, $15,000, or $25,000
yes.
a month. Or you bought a policy where you bought $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $10,000, or $40,000 a month based upon your prior income, you know, before you became disabled. So when you go against the company, there's no question as to what you're getting. It's either this amount or that amount based upon your ability to work. So, you know, in a private claim, though, one thing you can add is something that's called extra contractual damages or a bad faith claim. And those are other damages that you may have as a result of the insurance company not paying the claim.
Ah, okay. Well, you are just a wealth of knowledge, my friend.
I want to tell you one more thing.
Yes, go ahead, jump in there.
I want to tell you one more thing because when I talked about those extra contractual damages and we started the conversation talking about how unfair ERISA is and how that's a hot topic.
Yeah.
ERISA, which was made by the government and I said was a pro insurance company law. When you have an ERISA claim, which is probably 90% of the claims out there and covers about 33 million employees,
yes,
there are no other damages beyond what the policy pays. So an insurance company can be egregious, be completely acting in bad faith, completely screw the person, not pay them for 3 years, and the only thing the person can recover is their benefits. They can't recover punitive damages. They can't recover extra contractual damages if they lose their house. They have no other remedy. And this is a federal law that the government's allowed it to be like this. So that's another thing that's crazy about ERISA, whereas when you have a private policy, you can really go after the company and make them pay beyond just the terms of the policy.
That's amazing. We've had a great guest today, the website diattorney.com, and Gregory Michael Dell has been our guest. And Gregory, thanks for doing this, my friend. I really do appreciate it.
I really appreciate it. And for any of your listeners, I just want to let them know, if they ever have any questions or concerns about their claim, we're always available. We offer a free consultation. If you don't mind, I can give out my toll-free number.
Go ahead. Jump in there, my friend.
Which is 1-800-828-7583. They can also obviously contact us through our website at diattorney.com, and we're happy to speak with anyone who has any questions at any time.
I appreciate it. Gregory, have yourself a wonderful day, my friend.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it.
You're not on the list yet? Remember to check us out on JiggyJaguar.com and sign up for our newsletter. You'll get updates on the latest videos and audio content from KMA Entertainment.
JDeem.com. They make websites for small businesses and individuals. Their services are high quality and a lot more cheaper, cost-effective than many of the other guys. Simply put, if another web designer charges you the same as do JDeem.com or less, then chances are the designer's probably a rookie or will not do a good job. They have strong customer service.
There's something very, very wrong with us.
I feel like such an idiot.
Quite right. So you should.
We're mutants.
Oh, ungratefully.
Find out more at JiggyJaguar.com.